verses 33 to 37.
Bratje naše, da su uz Božju pomoć čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Mateju 5. glave od 33. do 37. broja.
Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Desire to conclude with verse 37. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May all bow in prayer before the Lord. Beloved, this few verses that we've read, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that were spoken on the mount as Jesus teach to his disciples God's ways and the pattern of the kingdom that Jesus was establishing. He speaks of the law of murder and of adultery, and here he speaks of the law of taking the name of God in vain. And he desires in all of his teaching to draw the hearts of his disciples to a true love for God and his ways. Even as we have sung, teach my heart and draw my heart to love thy ways. Even as David wrote in Psalm 51, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. If there's anything that we can glean from this few verses of Scripture, is the love of Jesus for the truth and his desire to pass that flame of love along to each of his followers. You see here that he says again. He has talked about the laws, and in each time he expands and elevates what the law has spoken. And he says, again, ye have heard that it hath been said of them by old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. To forswear thyself means to swear falsely, to give an oath with no intention of fulfilling it, or making an oath and then breaking it, to forswear thyself. And this is spoken about in the Old Testament. We read scriptures about the children of Israel who were set to be an ambassador of God to this world. And they were told, don't swear by the other false gods. Don't swear by any of their names. Don't take their names into your lips. Swear only by the Lord. And when you do, swear true. Say the truth. Don't take the name of God lightly or in vain. In other words, don't think that you can take an opportunity to swear an oath, to bring God or call upon God to be a witness to your truth and your honesty, if your heart really isn't there. Don't make that claim. Don't bring God's name down into the mud. Don't take away his honor. Don't steal his reputation by being careless. But Jesus says, "But I say unto you, swear not at all." Jesus, the simple words that are said, prohibits all swearing. And then he elaborates, "Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king." The Jews were very creative in their ways of getting around the law and God's requirements. God said, "Don't swear falsely by my name." But man's heart still had a tendency to do so. So what was their alternative? They could maybe not swear by God, but maybe by heaven, or by the earth, or by Jerusalem. And so this practice had been developed that, well, we're not breaking the law because we're not swearing in God's name, but we are being false, but we're swearing by other things. So it's not so bad. Jesus says, no, that's not okay. It's not acceptable to harbor lies in our heart and then seek to be justified by a technicality. What is swearing, anyway? Swearing is a solemn declaration of something that's true. When you swear by something, you invoke or you call upon God or some thing of value or some holy thing to be a witness or to be some kind of guarantee that what you're saying is true. And so Jesus is saying, don't use heaven because it's not yours. You can't use that as a guarantee. Don't use the earth. It's God's. It's God's footstool. Don't use Jerusalem. It's the city of the great king. These things are not yours. And when you use these things, you're just using either God or you're using his things. So your word is still accountable to God. You haven't gotten out of anything. So Jesus says, swear not at all. When a man would swear, they would be, in a way, testifying or calling upon God or these holy things to witness to their honesty. But there were other times that they wouldn't swear. And that's a problem, because that sets up two different standards of honesty. Sometimes I'm honest when I say I'm swearing, the Jew would say, but then there's my real life. And is Jesus interested in a portrayal of religion on one hand and then our real life on the other? Or does he desire that our hearts are one and that we in singleness of heart would serve the Lord and that all of our speech would be true and that our real life is our life of devotion and dedication to God. Our real life, that we might say our everyday, is what God looks at and he is concerned about and he cares about. He wants our hearts, as we have sung, to be molded to love his ways. And the Jews were very creative in their techniques for jumping over those hurdles of God's law, rather than embracing God, his love for the truth, and living by it. Jesus then says, "Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black." Well, if heaven is not mine, and the earth is not mine, and Jerusalem is not mine, well, maybe my head is mine. But is that true? How much control do we have? How much ownership do we have over our own flesh when we see how quickly we deteriorate? When a hair goes from black to white. Some of us were looking into the mirror this morning. We saw those white hairs and how man and our nature is quickly passing away. We don't have control. We don't have ownership, even of our own body and our own selves. Jesus is talking about the law. And there were oaths that were sworn that affected the head, like the Nazirite vow. And there were tests that were done by the priests to find out if somebody had leprosy. And they would look to see on the lesions of the skin. Somebody would come and they say, "Well, what is this?" And the priest would look and he would see some black hairs and he'd send them away for about a week and come back. And if they had turned white, then that was an indication of a serious problem, of serious illness, of leprosy. You can't, by your words, cover up or make up for the condition that is real. Just like somebody couldn't say a word and be healed by leprosy, for us, for our spiritual man, could swearing an oath or saying I'm being true in this instance, but my real life is another story. Does that help anyone? Does that change the condition? No, it's going to come out. It's going to be made manifest what happened in my heart when I harbor sin and lies and trying to stand on two different positions. Saying yes to God a little bit, but saying no to Him also. It's all going to be made manifest. We can't use a smokescreen to avoid it. And so Jesus says, do away with it all. Don't swear. But He gives the alternative. He says, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Here's the solution. From our heart, to love the truth and to speak with honesty at all times and to grow in a reputation to the world of honesty, of truthfulness, of keeping our word. Jesus said that to Pilate that this is the reason why I came forth, to bear witness to the truth. And we are now His ambassadors to also bear witness to the truth. And doesn't it do good for our witness to the world when we are true, when we're honest, when God's reputation is upheld as we carry out Jesus' mission and the reason why He came? We want to be better, and we need to be better at witnessing to the world. And speaking the truth at all times is a critical part of our witness. How quickly our witness would be marred and is tainted when it is known that we don't keep our word. What are the risks and what is the potential for loss when we don't cherish and hold the teaching of Jesus Christ? Souls are lost. People become cynical. And we see this in the world. You know, this world and our culture, it doesn't take the topic of swearing very seriously. And it doesn't take the topic of being truthful very seriously. And it is a cynical and confused world where people are hurting and the institutions of the world are falling apart because of the erosion of trust. And trust is built on the expectation of truth. Families can't survive without it. Even our monetary system would completely fall apart if there was no trust. It's so critical. And it's critical for the kingdom of God. It's a critical component, and that's why Jesus is teaching about it. But by and large, these verses are ignored in even a Christian country, when their simple interpretation is bypassed. The history of how that developed is interesting. And maybe when we're talking together about the scripture after the services, we can discuss that. But Jesus' words to us are not for knowledge and for history and for information, but are to mold our heart and to make us ready for that moment of decision where we are tempted to maybe stretch the truth a little bit for our own personal gain. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't do so on purpose, but you made a bad decision? And later on, you're being called into question about it. And somebody asks you about it, and you have the opportunity to be honest about your failing, be honest about the decision and what process you went through to make it. And instead of that, and coming to a better understanding with your brother or your sister, you decided to just tweak the situation a little bit and give yourself an out and give yourself an excuse. Oh, I'm not that bad. When those moments come, when we either need to decide between looking bad or being honest, I hope for myself and for each of us that Jesus' words would come back to our minds, and that we would remember the kind of heart that he wants us to have regarding honesty and speak the truth. Jesus says, let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. A friend of mine was once in a taxi, and as they rode with the taxi driver, they started talking about church. And this person wasn't a believer at the time. And the taxi driver, who was also not a Christian, he knew this verse. And as they're talking about Christianity, the taxi driver knew, when you say yes to the Lord, you should mean a wholehearted yes. Christians should say yes to the Lord and say a wholehearted yes, and not to be divided in how we yield ourselves completely to the Lord. It's not good for us to say, yes, I'll come to church, and I'll be part of the service, and I'll listen to the words. But in my treating of my fellow human, I'll say no and hurt them. That cometh of evil. And this friend was pretty convicted because he was talking about church like he knew something about church. Like, I go to church, I know the word, I know what I'm trying to tell somebody about Jesus, but I'm not applying it to my own heart. And he realized this unbeliever, they knew more than me. They were more honest. And at least they weren't making a pretense about loving God. But they knew when you make a commitment, you need to make a commitment with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the love that Jesus has asked and commands of his followers. When we say yes, we should mean a wholehearted yes. Sometimes this isn't the case. And I gave some thought to some challenges that maybe we face and things that I could point out. And as I thought about it, I thought, what about me? Am I as wholehearted in my devotion, And for me, it's my prayer life that is lacking, that I could point out and make light of somebody else's. What would look to me like a weak example or a weak expression of faith. How much work do I have to do? Why does Jesus' word not apply to me? It has to apply to me. It has to say to me, here is the picture of who you really are. Don't resist it now. And to my friends, those of you who are still outside Jesus Christ, this is an important lesson. It's one that is good for your soul and is good for my soul to know the truth and to acknowledge the truth before God. And you might say, well, I know I'm not supposed to lie. Thank you. That's thank you for that obvious observation. Jesus says, when you know the truth shall make you free. And you know things of truth about Jesus. And you know things about your life that are not in order and not under his control. And that you must bring them to the Lord for him to make them right. That's the only way we can find freedom. That's the only way that you can be relieved and released from the bondage of sin. And we'll continue to preach what Jesus taught. Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. And with patience and persistence, we will keep repeating the message. If God perchance will give you repentance and acknowledging of the truth, that your soul might be delivered. We live in an evil time. And the devaluing of the truth is an indicator and is a sign of the end times. We read in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 to seek to understand what we see in this world. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitting in the temple of God showeth himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Receive the love of the truth. There is coming a tidal wave of deception, and that exists already in this world, that even as we have prayed, would keep you from the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and that saving faith, and would tell you to postpone and to wait and say, don't be so committed. Look at all those Christians. They're not so committed either. You're just fine. But you are responsible, and I am responsible before God. And it will all end. All of the things that we see in this life, that people value, that people are pursuing, it will all come to an end. And there will be a judgment. And Satan is steamrolling people with his deception and his lies and his false promises. But Jesus calls us to receive the love of the truth that you might be saved. But that truth is often hard to receive. It doesn't always go along with my preferences, my desires, and my comforts. But it doesn't change, and it's still the truth. And God wants me to love it, and God wants you to love it. And when we do, there are beautiful fruits. There are beautiful fruits for us as individuals, as we have seen that salvation is available through acknowledging of the truth in Jesus Christ. We can be a better witness when we truly strive to be honest in all of our dealings and make a point of doing that. And we as a group, as a body, can fulfill our mission. You know, what would it be like if we took the Sermon on the Mount and clipped these verses out? We would be incomplete. And Paul writes to the Ephesians, the beauty of what God is doing through the church, through his church, through his followers, through his disciples. He is desiring and he is giving gifts and understanding and wisdom to the believers. And he's distributing it throughout the church so that we might be perfected as saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I believe that all Christians and all true followers of Jesus Christ have a desire that for one another, that we might all be unified in Jesus Christ and his teachings. We don't want to be unified in some dead old tradition or unified in some desire for earthly pleasure. There's plenty of that in the world. We have a desire to grow up into Christ, who is our all in all. He's the one to whom our eyes of faith look up to when we look up heavenward. We see him as our example of teaching and life and sacrifice upon the cross that we are to follow. And we want everyone to have that love and burning passion of the truth that makes us free. And part of that is speaking the truth in love, so that we each together would grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We all who are parents would love to see our children grow up with a love for their siblings and for their friends, for a strong faith that would be willing to give their lives for Jesus Christ. We all want to see them grow into maturity and to develop properly. And Jesus has that desire for the church as well. And so when he sat down his disciples, he began speaking to them about what the order within his body would be like. And he says, no more fakeness. No more protecting yourself, stretching the truth, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. May God bless his word.
When the brother opened the word this morning and read these few verses, I actually really look forward to hearing what the Spirit will speak to us on these short verses, because it's verses that aren't really concentrated on too often, and yet our whole life hinges upon them. Because, and even as the brother touched upon what the Pharisees were doing, and you think about, are we doing the same thing today? Because the Old Testament, the law actually spoke and said that you are to when that you can swear by the name of God. So, in other words, they were told that when they tell the truth, when they swear, that that is something that is an oath that is to be performed because you invoke the name of God. And the brother touched upon it, and in Serbian, it was actually seemed to be more of a concentration on that also, that Christ came, he elevated the law. He didn't make it less. He took it even to greater heights in everything. And in speaking truth, dear ones, the Pharisees were saying, well, if I can swear by Jerusalem, if I can swear by my own head, if I can swear by these things, then I'm not going to be held accountable for that lie that I tell because I didn't swear by God. I didn't swear by God. Jesus said, tell the truth. You cannot speak a lie. You cannot speak a lie. Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil. Why? He says, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He is a liar and the father of it. So if we speak a lie, that's not coming from Jesus. That means God is not my father. Because he says here, if God were your father, you would love me. And so, dear ones, we were taken to, even in the Old Testament, it tells us, it says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. But also then it tells us, if I could just find it real quick here. I can't find it in the it's when the law was given. It was really just based upon God and truth. And so we, dear ones, it's paramount. Truth. It's God. It's who we are. And obedience to him is such that, you know, he takes and elevates the law and everything. The law prohibited them from losing their cloak when they were sued. That's that outer blanket that they needed for themselves. So the law did not allow that to be taken, but Jesus said, give everything. A slap in the face is one of the worst things, even through generations, even today. A slap in the face called for serious retaliation. It was such a put down. It was then and it is now. They slapped the Lord Jesus right in his face. And he showed us what we're to do. He elevated the law to dizzying heights, really. When we are servants of God, our Father, when he is our Father, we love his truth. We wouldn't dare to speak a lie. Even today, I remember as a child I heard in schools, when you ask something, you say, yes, I did this or this happened. Do you swear to God? It was something like, okay, you said yes, but do you swear to God? When you invoke, they want you to invoke the name of God, thinking it's still under the like it was in the Old Testament times. Jesus said, when we say yes, we have invoked the name of God. When we speak, we are invoking the name of God. It better be true. So when a Christian speaks, he does invoke the name of God without even speaking his name. And he said, don't take his name in vain. When you speak, don't speak vainly because it comes from the evil one. That means God is not my father. If I'm speaking from the devil's language, that means he is my father. And anything else comes from evil. What a lesson for us this morning, brothers and sisters, to really focus upon our high calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm.